This is Believing Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chimdi Chekwa. How you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm doing good, man. There was a lot of stuff has happened since our last podcast. The combine. Spring ball started.
Right. Our last episode, if you guys didn't have a chance, please go check it out. We had a very special guest and Garyon Conley on the show. First round draft pick out of Ohio State, cornerback. It was a fantastic show.
So before we get started, a little plug from our sponsors, BetOnline. Remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. So head to the website today, use your mobile device to join, and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's betonline.ag where the game starts.
All right, and I always got a shout out. If you have any issues in that arena, gambling a little bit too much, starting to be a problem, feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLERS. They got people there 24/7 that's able to assist. Always feel free to use the resources that is available. But yeah, Chum, so let's get into it, man. I mean, like you say, it's been a lot going on. Combine is big. I mean, obviously it's big every year. It's funny how much attention the combines gets. Like other sports have combines, right? Basketball have, NBA has a combine, the MLB, you know, all major sports.
Nobody watches them.
Right? No one really watches. But the NFL combine, it's like, you know, it's like almost like must see TV. Like it's a lot going on.
It's like a different season for real. The NFL offseason is a different season. NFL combine, I mean, so much prep going into it, so much, you know, getting ready for interviews, trying to figure out, all right, I'm 185. If I drink this gallon of water, I'm going to be 190. But then I got to do the body fat test, and then I got to go to the bathroom before I hop in the body fat to make sure I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much to it, and it's crazy because once the season starts and you show up, it's like all that stuff go out the window.
Out the window. And it's funny, like I say, when you watch it, it matters a lot. To the people, when you're doing it, matters a lot. Your numbers, how you're doing the things.
Yeah.
It matters a lot to us people watching TV. Like, man, I can't believe you ran that slow. I can't believe you ran that fast. Or, you know, this, that, and third. But when it comes down to it, really, well, it's your game film that really sells it for you. But it is always entertaining and most likely, like I say, must watch TV. So Ohio State, the Buckeyes, they had 8 players invited to the combine this year. I guess I just want to kind of talk about the highlights. CJ Stroud threw, didn't participate in any drills or anything like that, but he did go out and throw, and you saw some of his big throws highlighted across social media, especially for us Buckeyes, some of the big throws. What we already know, he has that amazing arm with amazing accuracy as well, which really makes him a unique talent there. DeJuan Jones, the big thing for him, call him Big Thanos, that came in at 6'8", 374. So understand, you know, this is a combine. He's been working out. Like, you know, he's been working out probably the most he ever worked out in his life, getting the best shape of his life, and he still came in at 6'8", 374.
Right, 374. That's
always funny to me. Like, bro, he must play around 390, 400, maybe, you know,
when
you
want an off-contract.
I mean, he carries well. I mean, he carries well. He ran a 40.
That's crazy.
He ran a 5.35 40, which is not like, you know, it's not crazy, amazing fast or anything like that. But for a guy that big to run that fast, pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's like a semi-truck rolling down.
Like a semi-truck, man. And then the biggest thing for offensive linemen is like, you know, kind of, you know, the time is not usually the most important thing, but usually when you're looking at a guy that big, you're just kind of checking his athletic ability, right?
Yeah.
Does he have the ability to lift his knees up and run? How's the hip flexion and explosion? And I think he definitely demonstrated that. I'll say Big Thanos is a big athlete, man. I feel like, once again, also from the Senior Bowl to him running that 48 at the combine, I think he did another chip in kind of helping out his draft status in that performance. Always wanted to shout out Paris Johnson. He did hop on the bench, did 29 reps there, which is pretty solid for a guy with arms that long. Jackson Smith, Njigba, had the fastest three-cone drill at the combine.
Yep.
I think it was like a 6.57, so pretty good there. No 40, no things there. And I also had to shout out our center, Luke Weifler, because for what I could tell, basically what I know now, that he's the only person that competed in that heavy drill at the combine. He did everything that was asked of him, from measurements to all the competition and all the measurements and things of that nature. And he did pretty solid looking at his numbers. Pretty good numbers for a guy his size. I definitely feel like he helped himself out. But I guess one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Chum, is, like I said, we had 8 guys invited. You had several guys that really didn't participate in any of the time events as far as 40s or drills and things like that. And same thing with CJ. As then you see other guys who only did like one thing. They did the 40, or they just did the bench, or, you know, and maybe participating in drills of that nature. I just want to get your thoughts on that. You know, do you think that's, as a guy that went to the combine, myself, I didn't go. I went free agent to the NFL. Didn't get invited to the combine. But for a guy that went, what's your thoughts on that? Is that good thing, bad thing, or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think guys are just in general getting smarter about it. Man, I think, you know, back in the day, it was you compete, you do everything. Coaches will always question, like, why are you not running the 40? Are you afraid? Or why are you not doing the DB drills? I question whether – but they're lying for real. I mean, at the end of the day – when they go into their meeting rooms and they try to determine who's the best athlete, who's the guy that can run, they're just going to look at the fastest times. You can run a 40 in Africa, and, you know, with no shoes on a dirt road. If they have the time on paper, that's what they're going by. So guys realize, all right, maybe the combine isn't going to be the best atmosphere for me to be prepared to run my fastest 40. But I may be a guy who really excels at the three-cone drill, Jackson Smith and Jake, but he's likely not the fastest receiver. But you only got to run. You got to run your fastest. Once you run your fastest time, that's who you are for the rest of your career, right? Yeah. You know, after 3 injuries, 3 years in a row, you know, hamstring barely hanging on, when Miami looked at me, they were like, this guy's a 4.3 guy. I wasn't running a 4.3 at that point if I ran a 40. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I'm a 4.3 guy for the rest of my career. And so the guys realized, okay, let me do what I do best at the combine. And then, you know, I'll do some of the other stuff at Pro Day. And they're doing what's best for them. If you look at Anthony Richardson, he did all the stuff, right? He jumped, right? He did all, cause that's what he's great at that stuff. He needed to show, he did the throw to show how hard, how fast he can throw and all that stuff. CJ's like, I compare CJ to like Kevin Durant playing basketball. He's like a guy who can show up anywhere and throw the ball. Like, he's just a guy who could throw the ball. You know what I'm saying? It's like Kevin Durant, show up, he could hoop. He could shoot the ball no matter what. He's gonna score no matter what. That's how CJ is. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to do the throwing. I don't need all that other stuff, whatever. But I'm going to show up and I'm going to go throw. A guy like Bryce is like, I'm probably the top pick in the draft. Maybe 1, maybe 2, maybe 3. You know, I'm going to put myself in the best environment. So guys are just coming up with their game plan. At the end of the day, all that matters is if you do something at some point, how well do you do it? Yeah. So I think that's what it really is. I remember my year coming out, a lot of DBs who knew they were going to run slow, went out there, tried it out there, ran a 40. These guys had great careers in college, great game film. But it's like, damn, you just ran a 4.7. Like,
right, yeah.
Killed their style. Like, you should have just waited till you got to your pro day, best conditions, you know what I'm saying? And maybe you would have ran a 4.6. Maybe you would have ran your best time ever. And I think that's kind of what guys are trying to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of stuff at the combine with people, like you say, if you do something great, if you do something well, great, fantastic. But a lot of stuff is really to kind of see if they could eliminate you, right? They could come up with a problem, right?
So right.
When you start looking at, like you say, the 40, like, okay, on film, you seem like, you know, you're in a good position. You know, usually are competitive on balls. But, you know, you keep up with receivers. Obviously, you keep up with receivers, you're a cornerback, right? Then you go out there and run a slow 40, and now it's like, now I got to – Like, well, maybe he's not that top end guy. Like, maybe if we left him on the island against the wrong guy, yeah. you know, maybe we can't do that with him. Cause, and now we got to change our whole game plan going into it because, you know, he can't keep up with a guy. And same now, thing when it started looking at, I don't know, vertical explosion and things of that nature. Yeah. Like, you know, like, okay, he seems to be kind of stiff in the hips, and now he comes and jump a short vertical. I'm only jumping 25 inches, and yeah, that kind of confirms. Like, yeah, he has some explosion concern. Maybe he's not a top end guy when it comes to that. So yeah, so that's always something that you have
now,
to.
What I would say is though, the thing about the 40 though, if you run it at the combine, you do get two tries. Like if you run at the combine, you kind of stumble out of your, you know, whatever. You can go back and run again at pro day, and they will adjust the time. Like, and they, you know, coaches will say, okay, his fastest time was this. I don't know what happened at the combine, but at some point he ran his faster time. So that's also a risk too. Like you may want to take that opportunity. The combine, the difference between combine and pro day is pro day is your atmosphere. Your coach constructs it, or I mean, some guys have to go to other schools, but you kind of understand how the day is going to go, right? There's some control there. The combine is just random. I mean, you go from being pulled on, they checking your shoulders, your hips, and they pulling on you. It's just uncomfortable. So, I mean, there's an element to you uncomfortable. Then you got to go perform in front of all these people and have your best time. It's like, nah, I'd just rather do this, you know, where I'm most comfortable.
Right. You got interviews too, right? How does the interviews play in? So do you do, and obviously I know it could be different, but is it more like medical interviews, workout, or does it vary for guys? Or how does that go?
So typically everybody has some type of medical, and medical is different based on, they have your injury history. So you go into a room, they lay you on the table, they pull on your shoulder, they pull on your, it's kind of crazy for real. Like they're just pulling on stuff. Like I dislocated my shoulder in college. So I go into the room. Every team doctor now. Like all the team doctors who are interested, they come and they all pull the same shoulder. Like it's almost like bro, he pulled my shoulder, then he pulled my shoulder. By the time I got done, my shoulder, which I thought was fine, I realized that my shoulder is messed up. Like they don't pull my shoulder back like 12 times, and now my shoulder is actually hurting now. Now I'm hurt. You know what I'm saying? And I had other injuries. They kind of moved around. You know, the doctors share notes and that type of stuff. But yeah, it was that. And then you have the team interview. So teams, if they're interested in you, they'll give you a room to go to. You may not know what team is in that room until you get there. Then you interview with the team. They ask you questions, show you film of what you did good, what you did bad, have you explained. Trying to get an understanding of how well do you know the game and all that stuff. It's not, it doesn't give them too much information, but there's, you know, different guys get a certain amount of interviews. I know I had, I think, two or three at the combine. And then it's like, you know, press conference. You might talk to reporters and that stuff. So right. It's a cool experience in one light, you know, seeing all the guys that are in position to go, you know, go to the next level and compete and that stuff. But it can be annoying. It can be an annoying experience as well.
Yeah. For myself, I did go to the East-West Shrine game, right? So that's like one of the games, like, you know, got top guys go to the Senior Bowl, and then you got this other bowl that they get seniors to go and play in as well. And so it's like a much smaller version of that, right? So I did do some medical stuff, and I didn't have many injuries. There were really not a ton to look into for me, like, wasn't much documented. You do some interviews, but it's on a much smaller scale. Like, you kind of pop into a room and do a couple of things, or you get done with practice as a guy, like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And, you know, it's really, you know, it's not that intense. Like, you know, it's not very scary. But I feel like at the combine, it's just like, boom, 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 and it's go, 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 and you do all this stuff, and then you got to go out and try to compete and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, this seemed like a much more hostile situation. So like you say, once again, for guys who's maybe a little bit uncomfortable with something, I'm not push pause on it,
My medical took so long because I had to get, so this other thing, because they kept pulling on my arm, and eventually the last doctor who pulled on my arm, I mean, by the time I got to the last doctor, my arm was kind of, it wasn't moving the same way. So that last doctor kind of pulled on it. He was like, you know what? I want you to get an x-ray on this. I'm like, All right, now I gotta go get an X-ray. So I gotta go drive me to the doctor. Now I gotta get an X-ray and CAT scan or whatever, MRIs and whatnot. So that stuff took so long that I didn't get back to my hotel till like 1 a.m. And now I have to get up at like 5 to run a 40 that morning. So, I mean, now my, you know, luckily the 40 was my strength, right? So it didn't matter if I got shot. Like, I'm going to run. I'm running this 4.3. Like, this is what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if I was a guy who was a little bit concerned or, like, you know, worried about my 40 time, like, that would have been, you know, I would have been messed up. Like, I ain't getting no sleep. Slept for like three and a half hours. Now I got to get up. My shoulders hurt. You know what I'm saying? I got to go get ready and, you know, get weighed in, do that stuff, and then run a 40. Like, nah, this is not conducive to me doing my best, right? And honestly, I think I could have ran a faster time. Like, I didn't feel like I ran my best, but I ran good enough, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't actually do it again at the pro day. But yeah, it's not always the ideal situation based on what, you know, your specific circumstance.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, so I mean, you know, once again, shout out to the Buckeyes that made it to the combine. Like I said, I feel like the guys that did participate in things, they represented well. You didn't hear any crazy stories. You know, every blue moon, you know, you could kind of get some crazy stuff coming from the combine. So nothing like that was circulating, at least about our guys. So always a plus there. And so next is pro day at the school for the Buckeyes that's interested in going to the NFL. So I'm not exactly sure where that would end, but once we kind of come up, we might be able to go check that out, actually.
We should go check it out. See how those guys perform.
Yeah, see those guys perform, and we can come back and kind of talk about it a little bit more. But the next big thing that's going on at Ohio State right now is spring ball has started. So I think they had two practices so far. Not really sure the schedule. I'm pretty sure if I recall, spring practice usually is like the back end of the week. You kind of do a couple of practices, then you do something like going into the weekend as well. And then you have a handful of days off before doing it again. So, I mean, right now, like I said, it's just kind of nice to see the guys out there. You know, obviously no, not full equipment yet. Just kind of, you know, not even shells. Just helmet and shorts, kind of moving around a little bit. There's something I just wanted to shout out. Is that your boy? I'm gonna say he's your boy. You say he's your favorite to take this job, and obviously it's the biggest job that's open right now for Ohio State. It's that quarterback position. Your boy Devin Brown stated that he's wearing number 33 this season, which is interesting. Let's put it like that. Interesting.
Why is that? Numbers.
So from what I understand, he did an interview. He says Sammy Ball, who was the first quarterback in the NFL that was known for throwing the ball. If you know, historically, back in the day when football first kicked off, most teams just ran the ball. They just kind of – throwing the ball was almost like a trick play. Most guys just kind of ran the ball and literally not even three clouds of dust, 2 yards and dust. It's kind of always muddy and ugly with the leather helmets and all that stuff. But Sammy Ball was the first quarterback that's known for actually – throwing the ball, dishing around. Like, that was part of his game, going out and throwing the ball.
I did not know that.
And then also, interested knows that I just looked this up. I'm not trying to say I'm some type of football story, but he is the first quarterback to get inducted into the Hall of Fame, to the NFL Hall of Fame, Sammy Ball, wearing number 3. So, Devin stated, in honor of Sammy Ball, the gunslinger, he'll be wearing number 33 this year.
Okay.
Interesting decision. So I think we just had to stop and we got to talk about that a little bit, man. Like, number 33 is the quarterback. What's your thoughts? Big deal to you, or
I think it shows that he's ready to roll, man. He's ready to roll. You know, he's thinking much bigger than, you know, just, you know, winning the spot. He's thinking about he's giving a little credit to history. You know, he's locked in, man. I think he's ready to go, man. I told you. Listen, I'm not, you know, it's too early to call. It's way too early to call.
Right.
It's always hard. It's always hard to project, especially a guy this young, because it's hard to account for improvement. Guys improve daily at this point. Like, they're improving every day, and you don't know who's improving, who's taking the biggest leaps. But if I'm going to call it early, I'm going with Devin Brown as the guy.
Yeah. So obviously his competition there, for people who don't know, is Kyle McCord. So Kyle McCord is a year older than Devin in the program. Also, kind of, I'm not going to say this is the reason he got a scholarship. That's kind of overstepping out. He's a good player. But he's also was teammates with probably our best player coming back, Marvin Harrison Jr. They play high school football together, won 3 state titles together on the high school level. And you also kind of start hearing some rumblings. You know, obviously, you know, they're starting to talk to the media a little bit, and Kyle is stating that, you know, the chemistry is still there between those two. Marvin is second that. Like, yeah, we know we didn't throw a lot of balls to each other, a lot of catches between us two.
Hey, listen, man. I would have chemistry with Marvin Harrison too, bro. when you have a receiver like that, man, get him the ball. That's the chemistry right there. But go ahead.
Yeah, but then also just saying, I just kind of speaking to their relationship, they consider each other their best friend. They say, it's my best friend. Kyle says it. Marvin says it as well. And also, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to college with several of my high school teammates. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, obviously that bond is already there, right, for you guys being Buckeyes. But you got that bond also from high school. Like, you really know these guys, you know. And so it's definitely a lot of chemistry. Yeah. And in my opinion on the situation, to be honest, I don't like it, that him picking number 33. I feel like, you know, it's a lot to prove right now, man. And I hate to, you know, kind of say that, but it's a lot to prove, and it's like it's time to tighten up. Like, this is the time to, like, you know, put your very best foot forward possible. You know, let know that, hey, I'm in this battle, I'm taking it serious, I'm gonna go out here and try to outdo this guy. I'm gonna show that I'm a leader on this team, I can lead this team to success. Also, we're talking about Ohio State, so we're talking about national championships, getting to the playoffs and win a national championship. And it just don't seem like the most serious thing to do, right? It's like you kind of, you know, showing your age, that you go pick a number 33 that right when you line up is going to be drawing attention to it, right? Whether right or wrong, and obviously we know the story, but because he said it, but a lot of people not going to know the article. So everybody's going to wonder, like, why is this guy here with number 33 on a quarterback? Never seen this before, because I never seen it before. What is going on here? And obviously his performance can outdo that, but at the same time, if you're flipping it, if it gets tight, right, and it's really close on between the two, you know, are you going to be seen as, I'm not going to say a jokester or a prankster, but as a guy that maybe not taking it as serious, trying to make, you know, weird statements by picking funky numbers and doing it that way. So that's just my thoughts.
You sound like a get off my lawn old guy now, man. And we aging ourselves out here, man. Let the young man be young and do his thing, man. He picked the 33. I think he carries a confidence with him, man. So we'll see. You know, we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Hopefully he does well. You know, I'm not going to – right now, I don't have a guy. Like, I just want to see the guys compete well, Devin and Kyle, and, you know, so let the best man win. Or if it's someone else. I mean, I know we have a freshman coming in. I can't think of his name right now. But freshman on the roster as well. That's on scholarship. And another – I think we got that vet, right? The vet from Oklahoma State that's on – roster as well.
Yeah, so, player,
you know,
coach.
You know, once you guys go out there and play well, I mean, competition, you know, makes you your best. It should make you your best, right? And if it doesn't make you your best, then maybe, you know, you're not the guy that needs to be out there, to be frank. So you know, go out there, do it well. Both these guys have some years in the program, so some of that stuff they should know. Like, you know, when it comes to this, you know, common plays and things of that nature, so they can kind of sharpen in on that and kind of just go out there and put their best foot forward. And once again, just let the best man win. This is a good competition. Let the best guy go and get better, man. Get better. Obviously, it's also some news that, like I say, the first couple of days, not a ton going on, but it was good to see James Laurinaitis out there walking around, you know, his clips that, you know, now he's back into the linebacker room.
Another 33, right? Wasn't James 33 as well? James was 33.
See, maybe is he trolling James? Like, where? What is he doing? Like, what's going on here? So, like I said, that's another. Yeah, that's. Let's see how it. Hopefully, goes well. But it's good to see him out there, guys out there flying around a little bit. So yeah, good there. But man, I wanted to kind of get into a segment, man. Now that spring ball has started. And just kind of, I guess, you know, obviously we both redshirted and we both played, yep. You know, did five years at Ohio State, but didn't leave early. So that left us four springs to go through spring ball. And I guess I kind of want to just have a little segment, right? Just kind of discuss, you know, over these next couple of weeks, our mindset when thinking about spring ball. So obviously just kind of take it 1 year at a time. Just kind of dig in. What was you thinking? What was you feeling? You know, was you anxious? You know, was you ready? Did you, you know, how did it go for you? And just kind of focus in today on our first year, our first spring ball. So we got through the season we redshirted. So now, you know, you're not being redshirted twice, right? So now the spring ball is coming up and it's time for you to really like try to really make a name for yourself, more or less. You know, you already got some buzz going about yourself, but kind of really go out there and make a name for yourself. So what do you remember about your first spring at Ohio State?
My first spring, that's when my career started. If anybody asks me, like, when did my professional, not the professional career, when I actually started getting paid real money, I didn't violate NCAA rules. But, like, when I shifted over to, like, that, you know, I'm a professional football player. I do this, and it started spring, my first spring ball. Like, we redshirted, you know, we came in. I don't know if you knew, but I didn't know if I was going to redshirt until, right before the season started, for real.
Oh, I knew I was going to. I wasn't ready. Yeah.
So, when you redshirt, they kind of forget about you, for real. I mean, I guess maybe they don't, but it felt like in that moment, it felt like they did. It felt like they forgot about me. I took this year off. The fans don't think about you. You know what I'm saying? The fans figure that next big five-star corner that's coming in, that's the guy. We got these guys like right now. Like, the guys who redshirted, we're not going to talk about none of those guys, right? The coaches, it's like the same way. Like, you know, we redshirted, so we don't know if this guy's really going to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I went into that spring like, this is my seat. Like, this is it. Like, after this spring, I'm going to be able to determine, like, am I in the mix or, you know, do I need to consider going somewhere? This was no transfer portal back then. So if you were going to go somewhere else, you really had to map. You got to really map this out. Like, you know what I'm saying? You might just need to stay in Ohio State and just get you a good education and figure out what your job going to be. But, yeah, I was locked in, man. I was locked in. I was nervous, but I was ready at the same time. And I had a hell of a spring, my first spring. I looked at the depth chart, and I'm like, man, I am not about to play at Ohio State, man. Malcolm Jenkins is a corner at this point. And we are, I guess, because I redshirted, we're now 2 years removed. Donald Washington started. We're 1 year removed. Andre Amos, 1 year removed, he played a significant amount of time that year, and he was better than me, for real. I'm looking like, dang, we do one-on-ones. Like, Andre's better than me at one-on-one. Brandon Underwood hadn't played much, but he was a redshirt sophomore, and he was good, and he wasn't even playing yet. And I'm thinking, like, golly, I'm like 7-6 on the depth chart. I got to make some waves, and I was locked in. That's how I was feeling in every practice. You know, I'm trying to get better, improve. And then when it got time to those scrimmages, you would do those jersey scrimmages. Right. Man, I was locked in because I knew. I did the math. Like, there's not enough time in camp for me to actually win a spot unless somebody's like hurt. I got to win the spot now. They got to go through all offseason being like, man, this kid right here, we got all the corners we need, but this kid, we got to figure out a way to play this guy. So that's kind of like, that was my mindset, for real. And I remember
hungry mindset then, huh? Right?
Man, I was hungry, thirsty. Like, we had the one jersey scrimmage in the snow, man. It was in the stadium. It was snowing. Like, I'm from Florida. I'm cold. But this is the first time probably in my life where I played football when it was cold, and I didn't feel no cold. Like, I didn't feel no cold. I was locked in, man. I was going. I was moving up the depth chart. I was not with the twos. Then, you know, I'm going against the first team. I'm going against Brian Wibisky and whatnot. And I'm locked in, bro. Like, so I would say, you know, especially for these guys now, man, this is the opportunity for you to, especially if you haven't played already, if you like, you haven't already been out there, this is where you start. This is where your career starts, and it's during this spring period for real.
Yeah, I agree, man. So I remember my first spring, so I guess I got to go back a little bit to kind of really tell the story, right? So, I know as an offensive line, you know, scout team meant something to me, like, right? So it's like, you know, we're on scout team, and, you know, I'm redshirt, right? So all I do is scout team. So I go to practice. I kind of pay attention to what the starters are going through or, you know, getting ready for the game and meetings, and I'm kind of like half there, half asleep. I remember I had a late class or some practices. I was late, like, getting to meetings. So I'm kind of just like, you know, whatever. I'm getting ready for scout team. And I kind of started, like, a name for myself then. Like, so I went on the scout team. I was by far out of the true freshmen, like, the best. Out of the scout team, I was the best guy at actually blocking the starters and the guys that I was playing. And that's a huge difference, I feel like, from offense to defense, right? So just so guys don't know. So if you're on scout team – if you're on the offensive scout team, so you're going against the starting defense, you could really go kind of as hard as you want to. Like, no one's going to slow you down because the defense is going pretty hard themselves. So you're really getting, like, real reps with these guys. Like, you know, you got to really block a guy. Compared to a defensive scout team, if you're going too hard against the offensive starters, you usually get in trouble. Like, somebody get mad. Hey, man, we got a hero out here. Take him out. You got the coaches kind of charming at you, like, type of deal. Because you want, you know, offense, you're trying to be pretty. You're trying to make sure things are executed right way and things of that nature. So, for myself, I had to, like, really go out there. I was really blocking guys. I remember the top guys at the time was Jay Richardson, Quinn Pitcock, and David Patterson. Those were the main guys on the defensive line. And I used to, you know, do fairly well for them. And so, the coaches at the time, they took notice of it. I'm sure where it was getting back to my offensive line coach. We go into bowl practice, which is another huge time for young guys to kind of really start getting some reps against each other, and I get injured. So I remember I'm blocking. You remember Scoot D, Walter Dublin. We're in the goal line drill. And basic block, hit him straight up. And I just recall my foot kind of like, I thought I twisted my ankle. It's felt like that. I thought I twisted my ankle. And I was like, man, my foot just did something crazy. It was like kind of end of practice. So I get through practice. I tell the trainers, I put some ice on and I go home, which is the dorms, not home, but, you know, in the dorms. And I remember waking up in the dorms and I couldn't walk. Like, I don't twist my ankles many times in my life as a kid. Like, this is different. Like, I can't put any weight on it to, like, get to the bathroom. So I remember we had, like, the next day off. It was a Sunday. So I just, like, stayed in the bed for the day. And the next boat practice, I go. I'm like, I'm hurt. I get taped up, and I go out there, and I'm doing drills against Connor Smith, who was another freshman with me. And I remember we doing a drill. I'm like, man, he's kind of about to kill me. Like, I can't do nothing with my foot. You know, just a drill. Now, you know, we're not really going that hard. It's like, I don't have a foot. So I'm like, this ain't right, Tran. So then we go. I get an MRI, and I get have a Liz Frank. And if you don't know, a Liz Frank is basically it's a mid-foot sprain. Take some time to heal. So usually two ways, you get, you know, let it heal naturally on its own, or you can have a surgery. My foot was so bad that I needed a surgery. So it's just like, you know, you're just going to be off of it. Walking boot. So about time spring come around, I'm like kind of at the end of the rehab, and I'm not really, be honest, I'm not ready to be afraid. Yeah. My foot is still pretty in bad shape. But it's like, I'm going. Like, I'm not about to miss this opportunity. Like, once again, like you say, like, to kind of put a name out there for myself and kind of, you know, let the coaches know that I'm serious about, you know, being a Ohio State Buckeye and being one of the guys on the offensive line. So I go out there and I get it taped up. I'm kind of limping around. I remember some days was better than others, but it was kind of, I was in a lot of pain, but I had a pretty good spring though. My first spring still went really well. I set myself up for camp, like as a guy that's like, you know, this guy is capable. He understands. He fought through an injury to get through spring practice, which, you know, don't really You know, a lot of, you know, it's easy to sit those out, right? It's not nothing leading up to, but I was able to tough it out and go out and compete. And once again, just like, I mean, same mindset. I mean, I had a lot of guys in front of me at the time. And with the offensive line, you know, it was five guys, right? So you got plenty of room to kind of get in and fit in how you may. And I just kind of, you know, went out there, fought hard, and I had a really good first spring. And I feel like my coaches really appreciate the fact, like, look, he went out there, he toughed it out. He wasn't 100%. That was clear as could be, right? Basically going to spring ball without doing any real running or anything of that nature. But went out there and still was able to compete and do well. So I think it worked out. It set me up for my first camp. My redshirt freshman year, we can get into that later time. But I was end up like in contention. I didn't start as a redshirt freshman, but it did give me a lot of respect and got me a lot of good practice time with the starters and things of that nature. And kind of at that standpoint. So yeah, that was first spring though. First spring is really about for the young guys, like you were saying. It's time to shine, like especially if you're coming off a redshirt or. You know, high school guys got to be tough. I don't know how you do it because you just, you know, unless you just that talented, right? You kind of don't know anything. Still shot. You don't have a cap under your belt, nothing like that. But if you're a redshirt guy or a guy that didn't play much as a freshman, like you say, this is your time. Like, it's your time to show everybody how serious you are, how much you would develop, and how much you are willing to go out there and execute. Really, I mean, come down to it, execute and playing hard, right? Are you mentally there? Are you physically plays. There? Right, and making the plays and that come to you and making some that don't come to you. Just kind of just, you know, making yourself known that you're one of the guys that's going to be that you're going to have to account for, coach. Like, you're not don't braze over me. Don't try to recruit me out. You're going to have to account for me in my time here at Ohio State, for sure.
Yeah, because after my first spring, you know, that – if you look at the depth chart, like, there was two corners, Malcolm and Donald. And technically, Andre Amos got hurt. So it kind of cleared a path for him. And then Brandon Underwood, who was another guy, ended up not getting a scholarship renewed. So it was like, dang, like, the door kind of opened for me to the unfortunate events. But then the coaches – would shift when we went to nickel. He would shift, you know, Malcolm to the safety, bring Anderson Russell down to the nickel spot, and to put me in the game. It was like my spring was so good. It was like, so we gotta get this guy on the field. We're gonna move Malcolm to the safety and put him in the corner in Malcolm's spot. Even my freshman year, and there was that jersey scrimmage in the snow. I made some plays, and I remember to this day because I was. In my head, that was the start of my career. It's like, I remember we were losing to the offense. I don't know how Tress did this math, man, but somehow
What you mean?
Man, we used to kill the offense, man. We used to dominate the offense, and somehow, some way, they scored one touchdown, and we down. I'm like, man, this is the craziest thing. Like, it'd be three and out, all scrimmage, and now somehow, one play, and, the defense is down by 10, and then we got the field. I'm like, man, this is
that's
crazy,
football,
man.
That's football, man.
It was like some Jedi mind tricks to where the unit that was performing better, we gonna make sure that they always lose. Like, I don't know how he did it, but we was down. I never remember it was one last drive, and I'm like, the only way we can win is we gotta get a turnover because that's the only way we gonna get enough points to do it. They threw the ball to Smalley in the flats. I hit him. Ray Small. And I'm like, we gotta get a turnover. And I strip the ball on his way down. He falling. I strip the ball and I get the ball and I stand up and I'm walking the other way with him. I'm like, we got the points. They didn't give me the turnover. They said he was down. It was some bull. However, you know, it was on film. Right. It's on film. It's like, damn, we needed points. He got the turnover to get points. It's like that's the point. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. it was you know, that playmaking that you know, made him think, like, you know, we gotta get this guy on the field. So yeah, spring is. As I got older, I hated. I didn't really like spring ball, but as a young player,
yeah, and we'll get into that. We'll get into that like in the following weeks. By next time we do a show, we should the Buckeyes, they should have some pads on, and yeah. That's when stuff really start kind of livening up, right? You start to see some clips of some guys, kind of starting to pick it up, and that's what it's for. You need to have a couple of days to get acclimated, feel with a helmet, get that weight of a helmet back on your head, and kind of get that feeling of moving around out there on the field for football stuff, and not just weight room training stuff. So those days are important for health, but then all of a sudden it's like, a fireworks start, and then it's time to really go. So, so it's looking forward to it. Obviously, it's a huge spring for Ohio State. Whenever you have a quarterback debate, huge spring for the program. Yeah. So it should be a good one. Stay tuned with Believe in Buckeyes as we bring you the latest news on spring, and we kind of let you know our insight about how we feel about the program, how we went through handling the situations when we was there at Ohio State. So the next couple of weeks will be special. So definitely tune in and check us out, and we can go into it. Want to shout out our sponsors. Shout out to sponsors, Chim.
Bet Online. Shout out to Bet Online. Sponsor the show. And this is Believe in Buckeye Podcast.
Yeah, Believe in Buckeye. Go Bucks. OH.
All right, yo.